Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Ayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins a bit more than halfway down Daf Ayin Omid Aleph. You'll notice a Mishnah. And before we begin the actual text, we glance at the side where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which is of a very general nature. It says, Dugmois umikriyim, examples and different cases, shoinim, different ones, shebo haganov, either concerning a thief, whether he'll be chayev or potter, either he'll be obligated or exempt from being the 4-5 payment, which involves either the selling or the slaughtering of the stolen animal. The Mishnah, gonav al pi shnayim, v'tovach umochar al pihem. A person was seen by two witnesses stealing, and those same two witnesses testified that he either slaughtered or sold the stolen item. Oy al pi shnayim achirim, or the tevicha mechira, the slaughtering information or selling information, was provided by two separate witnesses, two other witnesses, namely other than the witnesses that testify concerning the actual theft, two other witnesses tell us about the subsequent slaughter. Mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha. This nevertheless results in the thief having to pay the 4-5 multiple payment. So that in order to indict him, you don't need to have the original witnesses that testified about the theft are the same ones that testify about the slaughtering. It could be two other witnesses that testify about the slaughtering or the sale. If you are a first-time listener, then by all means, you would have to familiarize yourself with all of these the details of the multiple payments. We've been discussing them quite extensively in our previous shiurim. Let us continue with the examples in the Mishnah. Gonav u'mochar b'Shabbos. A theft took place, and then the sale of the item was done on Shabbos. Gonav u'mochar l'avodah zorah. Someone stole an item and then sold it to idolatry. Gonav v'tovach b'yom ha'kippurim. Someone stole and slaughtered. The slaughtering took place on Yom Kippur. Be very conscious of the fact that in the last couple examples we didn't speak about tevicha, and namely regarding the Shabbos example we mentioned mechira, sales. Regarding the issue of idolatry, sale. Here we mention Yom Kippur and we introduce the example of slaughtering. The differences are very significant. Let us continue. Gonav mishel aviv v'tovach u'mochar. A man stole an animal from his father, slaughtered or sold it. V'achar kach meis aviv, and then his father died. Gonav v'hikdish v'achar kach hikdish. Man stole, slaughtered, and then sanctified the meat. Mishalein tashum arba v'chamishin. All of these cases, the 4-5 multiple payment is made, is obligated. And as we go on in the Mishnah, you'll see more cases. Gonav v'tavach l'refuah. Ole klovim. Person stole and slaughtered for healing purposes, for medicinal purposes. Or he slaughtered to give the meat to his dogs. Hashochet v'nimtzei strefa. He slaughtered and found the animal to be a trefa, something forbidden to eat because of some type of, say, internal organ deficiency. Hashochet chulin bazora. Person took unsanctified an unsanctified animal, chulin, mundane, common animal, into the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. That's called chulin, the common, bazar, in the Beis HaMikdash courtyard, and he slaughtered it there. These all of these cases, by the way, are after the animal had been stolen. So it was stolen and then slaughtered. The thief had it slaughtered for a medicinal purpose, for his dogs. The slaughtering took place and it was turned out to be a trefer. The stolen animal was brought into the Beis HaMikdash and slaughtered there. Mishalim tashlumi arba v'chamisha. The multiple payments are made. Rabbi Shimon poter b'shnei elu. Rabbi Shimon exempts in with regard to these two. Rashi says these two is a reference to the case of the slaughtering and it turning out to be a trefa, or the chulin b'azora. Rashi points out, and we'll see this discussed in the Gemara as well, that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that an act of slaughtering that doesn't lead to your being able to eat the meat, at least in potential, to your being able to eat the meat, it's not considered slaughtering. And the Torah is very specific in the multiple payments. It must have been a result of an act of slaughtering. In other words, if someone has simply stole an animal and shot it or killed it through a baseball bat, that would not be the basis of adding additional payments. There's the basic double payment, kefel, for the act of theft, but the subsequent act of killing an animal does not lead to the additional total of 4 or 5 payment. What does bring that on? In addition to, of course, the case of selling the stolen animal, alternatively, slaughtering the stolen animal. Now, when we speak about slaughtering, as far as the Rabbanan are concerned, as long as you do you go through the motions of a ritual slaughter, that is enough to obligate the thief in the 4 or 5 payment. According to Rav Shimon, the simple act of slaughtering is not enough. It has to be a slaughtering that leads to the potential of eating the meat in kosher terms. As far as slaughtering for medicinal purposes or for feeding your dogs, that doesn't preclude the ability of the individual to eat it himself, simply as food. However, slaughtering an animal and it turning out to be a trefa, as we mentioned before, an organ deficiency, which we know through oral tradition based on the verse in the Torah, that trefa is forbidden. What constitutes a trefa? So, in the Maseches Chulin, there's a list of what constitutes a trefa, as well as slaughtering an animal in the temple courtyard. In those two cases, you're not allowed to eat the meat. So, as far as Reb Shimon is concerned, since the action did not lead to eating, it's not considered shchita. It's not considered utvacho of the Torah. The Torah mentions utvacho o mechoro, either slaughtering or selling. Tvacho is a specific action, i.e. ritual slaughter. And Reb Shimon adds, ritual slaughter is not called slaughtering unless it leads to your having the potential to be able to eat it under permissible circumstances. There's another Rashi that we'll learn now, and it's likely that we'll come back to the Rashi later on. But Rashi, the Tovachu Mochar, a man slaughtered and his father's animal, and he stole it and slaughtered it or sold it. V'achar kein meis aviv. We're reading the Rashi. We saw in the Mishnah, if that happened, that only after the slaughtering, then his father died. So the Mishnah says the son is obligated to pay the 4, 5. He'll ask to whom will he pay it. So he'll pay it to other brothers that are also heirs. However, Aval, Rashi says, Aval, Mace Oviv, if one of the sons stole an animal, and before the slaughtering, the father died, v'achakav tovach u'mochar, tona b'seifa the potter. We're taught in the seifa that there would be, in that case, there is exemption. Why? Share yorashes oviv, at the point of slaughter, he, this son who's a thief, already inherited his father, and he is standing in front of a living animal, part of which is his. V'sheloi hu toveach u'mocher, and then it becomes a function of his slaughtering his own animal, at least certainly partially so, his own animal, and for that, of course, one is not held responsible. The Gemara has accompanying it a topic heading that we'll look at as by way of introduction to the Gemara. So we read the Nosei, which says Mishnasenu, our Mishnah dekotani that states Sheim Eide Hatvicha Umechirahem Achirim Me Eide Hagneva. If the witnesses that testify about the slaughtering or sale are two people that are different or other than those that testify about the initial theft, the offender is nevertheless chayev. He is obligated to pay the 4-5 payment. Haim hi deloka Rabbi Akiva. Is our Mishnah to be taken as not in accordance with Rabbi Akiva? The Dorash Vainin Edus, Rabbi Akiva explains a verse in the Torah dealing with testimony, which in that pasuk it says Dovar. It says Al Pishnayim Edim Oshlosha Yokum Dovar. The word Dovar means a case. A case is established through two witnesses, velo chatsi davar, and not half an item. Our Mishnah seems to accept, we'll say half testimony as binding. What in the world do we mean by half testimony? So now we'll wait and see in the Gemara. Lema masnis and delo Rabbi Akiva. Take note, by the way, of the long question marking, where the question is: Shall we say that our Mishnah is not in accordance with Rabbi Akiva? At the end of this long marking, you will see Abaye responds and says, "Afilu tema Rabbi Akiva." Our Mishnah can, in fact, agree or be authored by Rabbi Akiva. But what is our initial thinking? Why? What in our Mishnah gives us the impression that it's not in accordance with Rabbi Akiva? De'i Rabbi Akiva ho'omar, if it were Rabbi Akiva, but did he not say dover velo chatzi dover, that testimony must be concerning a complete topic, not a partial topic? Rashi, dover velo chatzi dover, Rashi says, al pishnayim edim yokum dover. That's the scriptural reference. Fahani Eide Tevicha Dekotoni B'masnisin, the testimony of the witnesses concerning the slaughtering that was taught in the Mishnah. Very specifically, the point in the Mishnah that said, Oy al pi shnayim edim achirim. The testimony concerning the slaughtering was not stated by the same that testify about the actual theft. So you have two witnesses coming into court telling us, so-and-so slaughtered this animal. That's chatzi dover kemishadim. That's like half information. Half. What do we mean half information? That cannot stand on its own. The ilav arinde geneva, if you didn't have witnesses that testify about the animal's theft, you could simply say that, yes, this guy slaughtered an animal. He slaughtered his own animal. Just by two people coming in and saying that so-and-so slaughtered an animal. That's not of any condemning nature. It has, say, condemnatory aspects only because it's coming on the heels of other pertinent testimony, other essential testimony, namely the testimony of the theft. Oh, when you combine this, when you combine the information of the theft, which by the way can stand on its own, with this second piece of testimony that the stolen animal was slaughtered by this individual, then we understand that there will be a 4-5 payment. But simply information concerning slaughtering of an animal, if you're not going to be identifying as the slaughtering of a stolen animal, it won't stand on its own. So in that sense, it appears to be chatzi dover. It's like it's half information. And here we present a Tanaic source where Rabbi Kiva's opinion will be brought to the fore. Desanya, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Kesholach Abba Chalafta Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, Lulmoy Torah. When Abba Chalafta went to learn by Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, the Amri Lo, another version of the story is Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, Eitzel Abba, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Chalafta. The other version has Rabbi Yochanan going to learn by Abba Chalafta. Omar Lo, so he said, Hare She'ochlo Shona Rishona Bifnei Shnayim. Here we're talking about testimony concerning someone who claims to have purchased a field. He doesn't have a contract anymore in his possession. But if we can prove that he used the field as an owner would use his field, that his claim of having bought it is a legitimate claim. The amount of time, did we mention, is 3 years of having used it as a person would ordinarily use his field. For 3 years, then he can assume ownership of it. So you have a person, she'ochlo shona rishona b'shnei shnayim. Ochlo literally means he ate it. It means he consumed the produce of a field, he worked the field, harvested the field, and consumed the produce 1 year in front of two witnesses. Shnia b'shnei shnayim, the second year, in front of two other witnesses. Shlishis, the third year, b'fnei shnayim, in front of two other witnesses. Mahu, what is the din? Does the fellow who used the field achieve what we call a chazoka? We'll say a sign of ownership. Omar lo, harezu chazoka. So he answers, yeah, that's good. You've got testimony concerning the use of the field for 3 years. That's enough to establish a chazoka, so that if now his presence is challenged, he can say, look, I have been using this field for 3 years, and up till now no one challenged me, and I have witnesses to support my claim, and even though I don't have a contract anymore, he has a winning case. Omar lo afani omer kein. So the other one said, yeah, I agree, I say the same thing. Elo shirabi kiva cholik badovar. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Shehoya Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Dovar, Velo Chatzi Dovar. Rabbi Kiva says that testimony is acceptable only if it's a complete testimony. In the case we just saw, you have two witnesses testifying. Any two witnesses here were testifying about 1 year of use. 1 year of use doesn't establish a chazaka, doesn't establish a demonstration of ownership. So that if you look at any two witnesses, they were not giving us a testimony of a complete 3 year use period. That then shows that as far as information and testimony, according to Rabbi Akiva, it has to be complete information. And in our Mishnah, we saw that the testimony concerning the slaughtering was binding. That would not seem to be in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, as we saw before. Rashi explained earlier, information that we hear, the animal has been slaughtered, that doesn't stand on its own. The Gemara answers, Mi lo mode Rabbi Kiva? Would Rabbi Kiva not concede in the following that we have legitimate testimony? What's the following case? Bishnayim oimrim kidesh. Two witnesses testify that so-and-so, some man, married a woman in the month of Nisan. Ushnayim oimrim, and two other witnesses say bo'al. They say another man came along and had intimacy with that woman, the woman who had been married already a month earlier. The afagav, the eide bia, tsrichi li eide kiddushin. Even though the testimony of the second set of witnesses that spoke about intimacy, their testimony has legal import only if it's coming on the heels of the first information that she was a married woman. So that even though the Eide Bia, in order to who come to see the woman be executed, even though they are dependent on the Eide Kedushin, the first set of witnesses that testify that she had been married, If you didn't have the Eide Kiddushin, so all they're testifying is about a woman who, for all intents and purposes, is a single woman that had intimacy. That doesn't carry with it a capital punishment. So even though the testimony of the witnesses that spoke of the intimacy are dependent on the previous witnesses of the marriage, Kevon the Eide Kiddushin lo tsrifi le Eide Bia. Since the witnesses concerning the marriage are telling us information that can stand on its own, has legal significance on its own, with their testimony, even without the subsequent testimony of the forbidden intimacy, their testimony alone establishes this woman as a married woman, hence prohibited to everybody other than her husband, of course. So since the Eide Kiddushin don't need the Eide Bia, Davar Karina Bey, we refer to this as complete testimony. And that classification applies, therefore, even with regard to the Eidus of the Bia, the Eidus of the intimacy. Since the Eidus of the intimacy is coming on the heels of a complete form of testimony. So Rabbi Akiva concedes that the Eide Bia are acceptable testimony. Hachinami, so too in our Mishnah. Afagav, the Eide Tvicha, Tzrichi, the Eide Geneva. Even though the witnesses concerning the slaughtering of the animal are, for their testimony to have significance, are dependent on the initial testimony of the animal having been stolen, since the witnesses concerning the initial theft aren't dependent on the witnesses of slaughter. Those who testify about the theft have significance in and of themselves. They obligate the thief to pay kefel. Therefore, dovor karina be, the testimony concerning the slaughter is accepted. It itself is attached to something that is of a complete nature. The Rashi points out that all of this is in contrast to the witnesses concerning the 3 years, where each set of witnesses was totally dependent on the other. There, you couldn't describe them, those three sets of witnesses, as any one of them being able to stand on their own. Testimony concerning use of a field for 1 year doesn't establish any level of ownership. It's basically useless information. The usefulness comes to be only if you combine all three. And hence, that case is different than the case of the relationship with the Eide Tvicha and the Eide Geneva. The Gemara asks, "V'rabbonan hai dover v'lo chatzi dover limutei mai?" What do the Rabbonan learn or exclude from the Torah's expectation that the testimony shall be of a complete nature? The very Rabbonan that said that the testimony concerning the chazokah was acceptable, so what in their mind is not acceptable? What's excluded? The Gemara has an attempted answer. We're calling it Aleph, and then two lines later you'll have the final answer. Limute, to the exclusion of a situation where we have we're going to speak of testimony concerning, let's say, the establishing of a person as an adult. In order for adulthood to be established, we have to have testimony concerning two pubic hairs. And let us imagine the following. So the Gemara says, Limute, to exclude the following. Echad, one witness, a singular witness. Omer says, Echad begabo, I saw one hair begabo. There's no need to translate the word in any literal fashion. Simply let us say that one witness testified about one particular pubic hair. V'echad omer echad bekresa, and the other singular witness testified about another pubic hair located in a different part of the we'll say pubic area. The Rabbonim would say that these fellows do not establish her as an adult. The Gemara says that is not the intent of the drosha of Dover v'lo chatzi Dover, because what you just described, one witness, a singular witness concerning a singular hair on this part of the body, and a second singular individual testifying on another singular hair, hi, chatzi Dover v'chatzi Edus, who? That is obviously not going to be accepted. I don't need a special scriptural reference to exclude that. Why? Because that's a chatzi dover, namely one hair, but you have only half a testimony. Testimony in Jewish law is with a minimum of two witnesses. Up till now, all of the information that we were describing before were, it might have sounded like partial information, but it was communicated by a complete set of witnesses, two witnesses each time. In this example, you have partial information, namely a singular hair, given to you by a single witness. A single witness is not a complete set of witnesses. It's a half an edus, half a testimony. So that, as we would say, as Rashi says, that's obviously not going to be accepted. We're looking for something, we're looking for an example where only because of this, of the drusha, the scriptural exposition, will I know to exclude it. Ela, the Gemara continues, L'mute, Shnayim Omrim, two witnesses. You have a complete set of witnesses, Omrim, Echad Begabo, one hair, one pubic hair on Gabo. Ushnaim Omrim, two witnesses, again a complete set of witnesses, but testifying about a different hair. Omrim Echod Bekresa. So you have a complete set of witnesses. What is each set saying? Hani Amri Katanahi Vani Amri Katanahi. Each set of witnesses is essentially saying she is still a minor. By having produced only one pubic hair, the individual is still a minor. So you have two sets of witnesses, each one saying she's a minor, so you don't have an adult over here. The Rashi, Akatik Tanahi, Rashi says, Hilkuch lo mitstarfin. They're both basically saying she is still a minor. When you look at each set of witnesses in isolation, each one is saying she is still a minor, so they don't join up. Avol legabi chazoka, regarding the example that the Rabbonin did accept, the three-year usage of the land, each year testified by a separate set of witnesses. Kulan me'idin shehoya muhsok ba. All of them are testifying that the individual was in use of the land. And I might add, they don't have a situation that they were saying, I saw him during year one. Second, that's the first set of witnesses, I saw him during year one. They're not saying that he was not there during year two. They're just saying we were present along with him all throughout year one, not to the exclusion of an additional year. All right. So they're testifying he used the land. The second set of witnesses say that we were together with him during year two, not to the exclusion of he wasn't there during year one or left after year two. No, simply saying he was there throughout year two. And the same with the third set of witnesses. In a case like that, they're all testifying that he was in use of the land. When you put three sets of witnesses all testifying that he was in the use of the land, you achieve a chazaka. Once again, in contrast to two witnesses, each one claiming she is still a minor, you put minor and minor together, you don't get adulthood that way. Tosfos has a nice, also a nice analysis of the difference between the Shnayim Omrim Echad Bekreisa and Shnayim Omrim Echad Begabo, as opposed to the case of the Chazaka. In the case of the Chazaka, if you look at any set of witnesses, they testified about everything that they saw. They saw everything that they could have seen. In other words, if they were together with the fellow during year one, they saw him during year one. They couldn't testify about another year that they weren't there. However, a girl that happened to have two pubic hairs on her body at the same time, any set of witnesses, any given witness, they're not testifying about everything that they could have noticed. And therefore, that is lacking. That, and therefore, in that case, you can't join them together. Let's continue in the Gemara. Gonav u'mochar v'shabbos. The Mishnah ruled chayav. If a person stole and then conducted a sale of the animal on Shabbos, the payment of four or five must be made. V'atanya poter, but we have a Tanaic source that features the same case, but the ruling of it is one of exemption. We have a diamond. You see Rami Bar Chama. Later you have Rav Papa. On the side of the Gemara, there are Nosei / Mivnehening. We have a diamond featured, and this represents Deis, opinions, Lasbir, Hodikotoni, Gonav u'mochar b'Shabbos, Poter midalvei. Our task is to explain the source that teaches exemption. Just by way of general background, there will appear a Mishnah that speaks about Gonav uvetovach b'Shabbos. If a person stole and then he did the slaughtering of the animal on Shabbos, that already is a, that will be potter. He won't pay four or five. That, of course, you can see in the Mishnah in Ayin Dalet Amid Beis, a few dapim from now, that particular example of Gonav v'tovach b'Shabbos. The reason for the exemption from the tovach fine is because by slaughtering on Shabbos, the offender becomes chayav b'nafshoi. It's a capital offense of a violation of Shabbos through doing a malocha. One of the 39 forbidden acts of Shabbos, one of the 39 Torah forbidden acts of Shabbos, results in a capital punishment. Sales on Shabbos, though it's not a proper thing to do, it's not a capital offense. When a person violates, well, let us say, something that simultaneously would be of a capital nature and have financial consequences, we charge him only with the capital offense, and he is exempt from making the financial, the otherwise obligated financial restitution. However, where there's no capital offense involved, for example, here you have a case of a man stole an animal and conducted the sale of it on Shabbos. Therefore, our Mishnah teaches he's chayev. That's understandable. There's no capital offense. Why, though, would there be a source that says that for the sale conducted on Shabbos, there's exemption from payment? Omar Romi Bar Chamo. Kitanyo Ahi de Potter. The Brisa that says exempt. It's referring to a very specific situation. Bioimer Lo, where we have a sale on Shabbos, you have a seller and a buyer. Where you have a seller, he's the thief is selling the animal. Bioimer Lo, the buyer says, Akoitz Te'eno Mite'enosi, cut off, Akoitz is to cut off, harvest from my fig tree a fig as payment for the animal. Fetikni li genevuseich, and through that I will acquire the animal, the stolen animal. And the thief did that on Shabbos. That's the payment for the animal. Hence the mechira, the sale, was accomplished through what? Through a Shabbos violation. Harvesting fruits on Shabbos is a Torah offense. Oh, and for that, there's capital punishment. And therefore, no financial restitution is expected. The Gemara asks, you'll notice the question that lasts a couple of lines. We ask, Amri, the kevon dechitova le kamon bedina. Imagine the owner of the tree were to lay claim on the thief, and he would say, "Give me back my figs, or give me that which you sold to me." So, if imagine that would arise, lo amrinon le zil shlim, the mechayev benafshehu. The court would not say you've got to go and pay. The court would not say to the thief, you pay him. Why? The mechayev benafshehu, for having cut off that fig on Shabbos. He owes his life. In other words, he has to pay with his life. He violated Shabbos. So since you're dealing with an individual who is going to suffer for this picking of the te'ena by being executed by the court, and as a result, when it comes to any financial claim regarding the fig, the court doesn't get involved. Ho mechira nami lav mechira hi. It's not viewed as a transaction, mechira, as a sale. So the Torah, though, says that the 4 or 5 payment is made only if a sale is completed. So to describe this as a case of a mechira, but exempt on Shabbos, it's not even a mechira. So this example doesn't illustrate the brisa that says that would have said gonav umochar b'Shabbos is potter. It's not even a mechira. There's a Rashi that we'll look at together, about halfway down, the Rashi column, the narrow column, the ha'i tovale. If the Baal Hateena, the owner of the tree, who ostensibly is the purchaser of the stolen animal, he wants to buy the animal, and the owner of the tree had suggested to the thief pick off a fig as payment, and if this owner of the tree was Toivea, laid claim la locate on the one that picked up the fruit, Bedina means, let's go on in Rashi, Bedina means in court. Lomar, saying, Achzer li teinim shalakatata. Give me back those figs that you picked from the tree. Oh, tein li masha mochartali b'demem, or if you don't give me back the figs, then at least give me back what you sold to me in exchange for them. Rashi goes on, lo amrinon laganov, we, the court, is not going to say to the thief, Zil shlim, you've got to pay back, either give back the figs, or you've got to give back the animal, give him the animal. The court just doesn't get involved. Ishtakach delav mechirahi, who, the result is, it's not even a sale. And on the side, the text reads, V'amai kotoni mochar, why would the Brisa have read, Gonav u'mochar b'shabbos? You don't have, since the court doesn't get involved with any financial claim that is related to this case, since there's no financial involvement, so it's not called a sale. Therefore, we need to have a new case of where there's gonav u'mochar, and I emphasize the word mochar, b'shabbos, that would result in potter. Let's continue in the Gemara. Elo Omar Rav Papa B'Oimer, the case would be as follows. The purchaser says, Zroik Ginevosech L'chatzeri, throw the animal, the item you stole, namely the animal, into my courtyard. And by it being thrown into my courtyard, V'tikni Li Ginevosech. And we didn't point out, but it's the main point here. The thief is standing in a public domain. And the purchaser is saying to the thief, throw me the animal, and I'll pay you for it later on. The Gemara goes on and asks, the question lasts a couple of lines. This, let's say, form of acquisition, keman, should we say that this Mishnah then, or I should say this Brisa, that said Potter, is in accordance with, only with a, let's say, an individual, an isolated opinion, keman, Kerabi Akiva? Should we say that this is in accordance with this works out only in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, Diomar, who said, Kluto kami shehun chadamya. Kluto means literally caught, and in this case, caught in the airspace of the chotzer, of the courtyard, of the purchaser's courtyard. Kluto kami shehun chadamya, that something caught in the airspace, is as if it has come to rest. In order for there to be a Shabbos violation of Hotzah, of transferring an item from one domain to another, from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYochid, from a public domain into the Chotzer, which is the Chotzer is a Rishus HaYochid, in order for an act of Shabbos violation to be accomplished, you have to have the item we call akira, literally uprooted or picked up from one domain, and hanocha, and then laid to rest to a stationary position in the second domain. In our case, how is the sale taking place? It's being thrown, it's being picked up from a public domain, and then thrown into the chotzer, the private domain, and what in order to conclude exemption, you have to have this transfer of the item from one domain to another being coinciding with a Shabbos violation. And as a result of that, we'll say that since the sale is taking place at the same time a Shabbos violation is taking place, the financial aspect is exempted. Is, let's say, forfeited, and there's only, that's why it would say potter, exempt from paying the 4 or 5. Why? Because the Shabbos violation is taking place at the same time. In order for that description to have to take hold, it would appear then that we have to set up the case in a, only in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, that says Kluta means caught in the airspace of the Chatzer. It's as if it has come to rest. Being caught in the airspace of the Chatzer, at that point you have the acquisition, the Mechira, and the Shabbos violation, well, did it come to rest? If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, yes, it came to rest also. It came to its legally stationary position. Again, legal is not the same thing as physical. But according to Rabbi Akiva, something caught in the airspace of is as if it has come to Hanocha, to its position of state of motionlessness. For if you were to learn like the Rabbanon, kevan dematia lechotzer beisa ikona, according to the Rabbanon, when the animal reaches the airspace of the courtyard of the man's house, that's when the deal is clinched. The mechira is completed at that early point when it reaches the airspace. Linyan Shabbos lo mechayv ademati l'ara. As far as the Shabbos violation, that only takes place moments later when it reaches the ground. And since the Shabbos violation is not simultaneous with the financial obligation, the financial obligation sets in before Shabbos is violated. So there's no exemption of financial obligation on the grounds of it happening simultaneously with a capital offense. So according to the Rabbanon, the Brisa that says Potter would not be understandable. Only if you accept Rabbi Akiva that says that the Shabbos violation and the financial obligation are happening simultaneously, and that will be only if you say Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya, Kluta being caught in the airspace of the courtyard, is Kamishun Chutz already as if it's at rest. In other words, the completion of the Haitzah, of the act of transfer of domain, is at the point it reaches airspace. And at that moment, the deal is clinched. How then should we therefore say that Brisa is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva alone? Can it not be explained in accordance with the Rabbanan? The Gemara answers, Be Oimer, Lo tikni li ginevosech ad shetanuach. The source can be understood in accordance with the Rabbanan also, if there is a stipulation made in the acquisition. Namely, the purchaser, the acquirer, the lokeach, he says, I am not acquiring your item until it reaches the floor of my courtyard. So as far as the Shabbos violation is concerned, when does that happen? Only when it reaches the floor. As far as the acquisition is concerned, when does it happen? Like he stipulated, only when it reaches the floor. So they're happening simultaneously. And as a result, there is exemption from the financial aspect. And there is no payment of 4 or 5. Rava Omar. Now here, Rava makes a point. We have a long point marking. It takes us to the second line from the top of Daf Ayin Aleph. Before we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side. They call this a tat nosei. It's a subtopic heading. The inability to lay claim, to pursue your claim in a court. Eich se mashpia al shem esnan, shem mechira. Even before we get into the Gemara text, a word of background. Esnan is a payment one makes to a harlot for her services. We touched on Esnan a number of dapim ago. If you didn't learn those dapim or maybe forgot, so this is time to refresh ourselves. And Esnan, by way of a general background, if a harlot is paid with an animal that's potentially of sacrificial quality. If that animal is given to a harlot for services rendered, that animal becomes disqualified from being offered as a sacrifice. We're going to see in the Gemara a situation where a claim of esnan, a financial pursuit of trying to recover that payment, cannot be made. And yet, if an animal is given to the harlot, it becomes forbidden. So that we have an illustration of something, and we will have a specific case when we look in the Gemara. But we have a situation where the court won't get involved with collecting the esnan payment, and yet the shame esnan, the labeling, the categorizing of an animal as an esnan takes hold. So we will use that as precedent, says Ra, in order to reinstate what Rami Bar Chama said beforehand, that just because payment cannot be achieved through court involvement, that does not diminish the action from being considered a mechira, a sale. Well, now, let's see the Gemara. Rava Omar, li'olam kirami bar chama. We can go back to the Rami bar chama case in explaining the brisa that said, gonav u'mochar b'shabbos puter, using Rami bar chama's case, where the purchaser said to the thief, pick off a fig from my tree on Shabbos, and with your picking off of the fig, you're picking off my fig, I get your animal that you stole. That's Rami Bar Chama. Let's accept that. You'll ask that that's not called a mechira at all, since if the owner of the figs would try to recover his figs in a court of law, they simply won't get involved. Well, listen to the following. Esnan osra Torah. An esnan, a gift given to a harlot in payment for her services. If you want to be more specific, a sheep given to a harlot. A sheep is an animal that is one, it's just one example of an animal that's in potential suitable as a sacrifice. An esnan, a sheep paid to an esnan, is forbidden to be brought as a sacrifice. V'afilu bo al imo. Now, as horrendous as this is, the Gemara discusses every possible life situation, and included in this is a disgusting, horrid example. But a son had intimacy with his mother, and in exchange for the intimacy, there was an anticipated payment of a sheep. V'i tava le kamon bedina. If that woman, the mother, would seek payment from her son in court, the mother would say, I provided the harlotry services with my son, and I want him to pay me the sheep. Mi amrina le, would the court say, kum hav lo esnan, you have to pay your mother the esnan? Of course not. The son, for having been with intimacy with his mother, is in violation of a capital offense. He's going to pay with his life. The court's not going to get involved with the financial aspect of recovering payment from the son of a sheep to the mother. So that even though if she were to lay claim in court, we would not say, you've got to go pay your mother the sheep. In the event that he happens to give her a sheep, so he's giving her something that the court couldn't have extracted, it nevertheless gets the label of esnan. Hochanami, so too in our case above with the sale on Shabbos. Afagav dilin tashlumin itova bedino kamon lo aminon leizil shlim. Even though, or even if the owner of the tree would try to recover his figs in a court of law, we would not say to the thief that picked off those figs, you've got to pay him back those figs, or give him the animal. Court won't get involved. We continue at the top of Daf Ayin Aleph. Afilu achi kevan de ka mepnile v'achi. Nevertheless, since the agreement was that the sale would take place thusly, you pick off the figs, and I thereby get the animal. Havya mechira, it is a mechira. So that's true, even though in potential it couldn't come to a, if it had come to a case of trying to recover the figs in court, he wouldn't have been able to do so. That doesn't diminish from the actual case where they had agreed of that upon picking off the figs, the transfer of the animal takes place. That remains labeled a sale. And hence, it's a case of gonav u'mochar. It's a real sale on Shabbos that is putter, because at the same time that the sale took place, the offender also became liable to capital punishment, and we say komble b'derabamine. We apply only the more serious punishment, i.e., execution, and forego the payment, the 4-5. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.